poor, anointed, singing and playing, blessing us with an anointed song. Amen? Amen. I'm so thankful that it's not just singing, but it is the anointing that makes the difference. And I thank God for an anointed choir, anointed praise singers. And you can feel the glory of God through every instrument, through every voice. Lord, bless them. We appreciate their dedication and their work in the kingdom of God. To our guests, we're excited that you are with us. We are just returning from General Conference. We'll be talking to the church more about that later. What a powerful move of God in General Conference in every service. The Lord Jesus Christ is completely changing the thinking of his people, of his church around the world, the United Pentecostal Church, other many other groups out there that are propagating this wonderful gospel, this great message of one God, baptism in the incredible name of Jesus Christ. He is just moving his church in the world, getting ready for great, great revival. I believe the Lord wants to do something incredible here today. You are here. God has brought you here. It is not just for a visit. It is not just to check the church out. God has brought you here today because he wants to speak to you. Because he loves you. And he knows that you love him. Matthew 16 and 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I wish some way today, before this service is over, that you could get some kind of a glimpse, some kind of a revelation of how valuable you really are and what an eternal soul really means, to live forever and ever and ever. I know that we do not preach on hell very often, but we probably should. Hell is real. It is real. It was created by God, not for you, but for the devil and the fallen angels. It is not the will of God that any man should perish. It is God's will that every person in this building today and every man and woman on planet Earth confess their sins, receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, and live eternally with him in heaven. That, friend, is the will of God. For God so loved the world, the Bible says. So I pray today somehow the Holy Ghost will go beyond my words and my little basic simple message here today and somehow grip your heart and give me and give you a revelation of your soul that we will leave here today letting the devil know, letting the world know, and letting anybody and everybody else know nothing's coming between my soul and my God. That whatever it takes for me to get my soul into the presence of God, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to start today. Can you shout hallelujah? Reach over, get your neighbor's hand, and let's pray. Father, in the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you, God, touch our hearts and our minds today. Help the preacher, Lord. Help him to speak, God. Help him to speak, Lord. Use him today. Father, let your word go forth in the house of God. Touch every mind and every heart that's in this place here today. It's our prayer. It's our prayer. We want to spend eternity with you, Lord. We want to be there with you, God. Help us, Father. Help us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Can we have an apostolic hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless you. You can be seated. I'm only going to be preaching for a few minutes today, so you need to listen close, and you need to be ready to respond to the call of God. On the table, I can't remember if it's a Sears or a J.C.'s Penney's, but there was a table that was full of women blouses. I remember walking by blouses and shirts, and I remember a sign on that table, and the sign said, "Slightly soiled, greatly reduced in price." Now, there was really nothing wrong with these blouses. They were the way they were originally made, right? Nothing really wrong with them, except that in the journey of things, they got a little dirty. They weren't taken out just right. Maybe they were mishandled or fell on the floor and somebody stepped on it, so there's a little dirt in it. But they couldn't put it back up on the rack in the showroom, and yet it still had value to it, so they didn't want to throw it away. So they said, "I tell you what, we'll just put them on a table over here, and we'll let everybody know they're slightly soiled, but the price has been greatly reduced." So we find here they were too good to trash, but yet there was still value on the inside of them. I've come to preach to you here today. I've come to let you know the world may have soiled you. Sin may have soiled you. The world may want to cast you aside. The world and the devil, they want to tell you there's no value. Well, I've come to tell you God has said they may be soiled, but they still have got value. I don't know what sin has done to you. I don't know what this world has done to you. I don't know what this media has done to you, and God knows it's done some horrible things. I might be preaching to alcoholics today. I might be speaking to some wives abusers or children abusers, or I might be speaking to someone bound with being an addict, being a thief and stealing. Or no, God only knows what it is. And so you say today, "Preacher, if you knew my life, you would know there's no value in me. God would never want me. God would never accept me." I've come to tell you in the Holy Ghost, for God so loved you. I said, for God so loved you that he sent his only begotten son into this world. The Bible says to die that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's come to get you off the table today. God's come to get you off the discount rack. God's come to remove you from the table of being discarded and to tell you. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Now look at your neighbor and tell him, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Now tell somebody else, value is in the eye of the beholder. I might be willing to pay a whole lot more for something than you are, because for some reason, in my eyes, it has more value. For instance, you might look at this suit I'm wearing and say, "He must have got that at the thrift store." Now, this suit is probably 9 years old, but I had a sweet little lady shake my hand today and say, "Pastor, Is that suit new? It looks so nice on you. She probably flirting, but that's okay. She's in her 80s. She's got the right to flirt. That tie looks good. That suit looks new. That suit looks new. Why? Because in her eyes, it had a little more value than in your eyes. Look at your neighbor and say, you determine the value. Now, if we're going to buy or sell something, we put a price on it. Now, somebody's going to come along and go, are you kidding me? I wouldn't give a tenth of what you're asking for that. But the person right behind you walks up and goes, is that all you want? Because they see something different than what you see. And we put our own value on things. Now, trust me, I have met some people that have put unrealistic values on items. And they'll say, well, this belonged to my great-great-grandpa. I didn't know your great-great-grandpa. And so I'm not going to pay you 50 times the value of the item because you have value in it. If I'm going to pay something, it's because I've got value in it. This is what I'm trying to say. Satan came down in the garden. He got a hold of Adam and Eve. Satan said to himself, if I can cause them to sin, they will lose all value in God. They'll be worthless. It'll hurt him. He'll cast them off. They'll be done forever. Oh, Satan, maybe in your eyes they've lost value, but even in sin they never lost the value to God. Or why? We were yet sinners. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sin. I've come to tell you, I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. You are just as valuable to God as the day you were born. And God loves you. And God is here for you. And God's come to bless you. Tell your neighbor, I'm valuable to God. Tell him I'm valuable to God. All right, be seated. Give me a couple more minutes. Now, a recent scientific study has revealed that if I was to burn you into dust, that the average human being will be worth about $160. Now, that means some of you are worth about $250. And some of you are only worth $100. But somewheres in the middle of all this is about $160. Out of that $160, the most valuable part of your body is the potassium. In fact, if I was to burn you down, you would have about 1.16 kilograms of potassium that would be left behind from your ashes, and it would be worth about $104. So if you want to add value to your life, eat more bananas. Because potassium is what gives your flesh value. But that's not what I read to you today. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, Jesus knows something, because he created you. From dust you came, and dust will you return. He's not concerned about this body. In fact, he told the people, he said, do not concern or do not fear those who can harm the body only, but fear those who can harm the body and the soul. Why?
Because what's valuable in this place here today, it's not your flesh. It is your eternal soul. It is your soul that God is after here today. Listen, if you pray through to the Holy Ghost today and we baptize you in the name of Jesus, God will work on your flesh until the day you die. I've been saved for 35 years. God's still working on my flesh. The devil still works against me. In fact, your pastor was tormented last night all night long by demons. Came in from conference, had the victory, laid down on the bed and tormented all night. You say, well, why didn't you rebuke him? I did, but then his brother came. Don't worry about Pastor. He's okay. I woke up this morning. I had all the devils on me. I went and washed a couple of them off in the shower. Because while I was showering, I was saying, God, I need you today. Victory today. Victory in the house. I shook a couple off while I put my pants on. I got rid of a couple more while I tied my shoes. And by the time I got to the house of God, I was devil free. The devil will never stop working on you. And God will never stop working on your flesh. He'll work on it till the day you die. But today, in an instant, he can redeem your eternal soul. What do you mean by that, Pastor? What I mean by that, you pray through today, you get baptized in Jesus' name, you come out of that water redeemed. On your way home, you still got all kinds of things wrong in the old flesh. You've got a long ways to go, but on your way home, God takes you out of this world. I'm here to tell you, friend, your flesh will die, but your soul will go to be with the Lord. Forever. Somebody shout forever. Woo. Just because you may think you are no value in the eyes of your family, maybe you're the outcast of the family. You're the one that spent the father's inheritance. Huh? The prodigal son comes home. The other son finds out about the party going on. He was one mad dude. I've been with you all this time. He went and spent. But the father, the Bible says, when the father saw him, he began to run out to meet him. He hollered, get the robe, kill the fatted calf, bring the ring of royalty, get the shoes of holiness. My son was lost, but now he's found. I'm here to tell you today, God is running toward you. God is running toward you. It's easy to see that God's value of you is high. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. Matthew 10 and 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body. Watch verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing or a little bit of money? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. Look at verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Verse 31. Fear not. Fear ye not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. No, brother. Some people just like to make it tough on God. Bible says every hair. Gabriel, go get the tweezers. Sit down, son. Go get the tweezers. Watch me. I'm going back a few years. He's got two. How many kids you got now? Two. He's got two lovely youngins. Is it a boy and a girl? Two girls. Sorry about that, buddy. Two girls. I'd rather raise 14 boys. Nothing personal, Hannah. I know you're out there somewhere. Dear Lord in heaven. But years ago, his wife had a miscarriage. They prayed and sought God. They tried again. She carried the baby for such a long time. They had another one. Another miscarriage. They tried again. Heart was heavy. Broken, not only by dad, but mom especially. And God takes him, lays his head back. He says, I just want you to know how much I love you. I know how many hairs are on your head. I know when one little hair falls to the ground, I take a number off. But when another grows in its place, I put it back on. I know every hair on your head. I want you to know what you're going through. I know it hurts. I know it's painful. I know what you faced is unbelievable. But he says, every hair on your head. I know the pain that's in your heart. I know the suffering that's in your soul. You lost a loved one. You've gone bankrupt. You lost a job. You don't. But I know every hair on your head. What is God saying? He's saying, I know everything you're going through. I'm there. I'm so close to you. I'm counting the hairs on your head. There's another one. Tough job for God. Yeah. But he loves so much. Doesn't matter the age, darling. Even in all of these gorgeous, beautiful little braids, God is able to go 1, 2, 3. I know he's God and he could count them all at once, but I got a funny feeling he just kind of puts you in his lap in the spirit world and he just counts them one at a time. I know you're suffering. I know you faced a lot of things. I know this world has done you in. I know you got hooked on drugs and you don't know what to do about it. I know you got messed up and now you're spending time. I know things have gone wrong and you lost your wife and your children. I know things have messed up and now you're sick in your body and you don't know what to do. But I'm here to tell you, there's a God in this place that you are more valuable to him than the product of the world. You are more valuable to him than all the gold of the universe, all the diamonds, all the pearls. Everything, you sir, you ma'am, mean everything to God. Oh, I wish somebody would help the preacher right now. Come on, let's send up a little praise. You see, it's a matter of who's putting value. And it's the person that puts the value who's willing to pay the price. And all of us, no matter what we're looking at, no matter what we're buying, no matter what we're doing, we have a price. We'll only go so far. We walk onto the used car lot. I know it's used because none of you have enough money to pay for new. I can tell that by your tithing records. I'm just kidding. I don't look at records. We go on to the used car lot, and we look at a car, and they say, I want $10,000 for it. And you go, no, I won't give a dime over eight. And they say, well, I tell you what, you can have it for 9.5. No, I'll give you 8.5. Well, you can have it for 9.2. No, I'll give you 8.7. Well, you can have it for 9.1. No, I'm not going any higher than 8.7. We have a limit on what we're going to pay according to the value we've placed on the object. There was a radio station. Give me just a few more minutes. It's only 12:30. Pastor's almost done. So I want everybody in prayer, please. There's some people here today that need to understand that in God's eyes, you are so valuable. He's willing to pay any price for you. There was a radio thing that came on. This is a few years ago. And the announcer said, there is a 14-year-old girl who is in such and such hospital. And she needs a pint of blood. Now, when you hear that, you say to yourself, well, why don't they go to the blood bank? There's all kinds of blood in the blood bank. But the announcer on the radio continues to give some qualifying parameters. And he says, it must be a 14-year-old because there are certain things in the blood that have to be there at that stage of hormonal level. And even though it can go from 12 to 16, 14 would be ideal. So now we've narrowed it down to a 14-year-old who's going to come in and give a pint of blood. Whom we say to ourselves, still, that's not too difficult to do. But then they add another stipulation. The donor must have O negative blood, the most rarest blood known to man. Only 7% of the human race has this blood type. So now you've got to be a 14-year-old, and you have to have a O negative blood type. But he doesn't stop there. He says, and the donor must have had the smallpox within the last 90 days. Now we're talking about a disease that's basically been wiped off the face of the United States of America. All of a sudden, what seemed to be just a pint of blood has become a very rare, valuable pint of blood. I don't know if they found it. I don't know if the donor made it. I just know it was rare. And I've come to preach to you here today that not just any blood can wash away your sin. They tried the blood of goats. They tried the blood of lambs. They tried the blood of oxen. But none of it was able to wash away my sins. But God so loved the world. When God saw you, the value of your soul, it was enough to bring him to a cross, to shed his blood, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for you. Just one more little story and I'll finish this up. I read this in a magazine. There was a little girl in Vietnam. She had got shot. It was during the war. She was dying, bleeding profusely. The nurse, not knowing Vietnamese very well, the language very well, she was talking through an interpreter, and she was telling the interpreter, we need these children to give their blood. We need them to step up and give their blood. But none of the kids would move. They all stood there and looked at the nurse, and they were frightened to death. Finally, the nurse began to weep, and she said, if one of you don't step up to give your blood, the girl is going to die. Finally, a little boy stepped out, then another girl, then before you knew it, the whole crowd stepped up, and so she began to take a little blood from several of them with the same type. But what we found out later is that the children thought that she wanted all of their blood. that the interpretation was that I must die so that she can live. Now that puts a whole new story on things. Or rather, I'm just going to give a little blood so that you can live versus I must die so that you can live. But yet that is the very thing that God was faced with when it came to your soul. But not only die, but die a horrible death, nailed to a cross, crown of thorns on his head, a whip that beat his back until it was a bloody pulp, a spear shoved in his side. He suffered and suffered and suffered, but he did not spill one pint or two pints. He spilled at least 13 pints of blood. He gave all of his blood. Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that God shed his blood that you and I could be saved. Oh, friend, when God looks at you, you are valuable. Let's stand. Musicians, come. I want you to hear what I have to say here real quick. Everybody's mind on the Lord. When Jesus was born, he had about 3 pints of blood in him. To the world, it was just a child. Just 3 pints of blood. But to the heavenly host, at 12 years old, he amazed the priest at his teachings. 33 years old, he now had about 13 pints of blood. Now, when you compare that to the 19 million pints of blood that was shed at Solomon's temple, 13 pints of blood doesn't seem to be that much. But the type of blood is what made all of the difference. You see, the reason why it was so rare is because it was the only blood that could wash away my sins and your sins. You want to know how valuable this blood was? Now, I made up my own little equation. Don't go make a doctrine out of this, but it sounds pretty cool. If you take the world gross product. Why do you say that? Because Jesus said, what will a man give for his soul? What will he exchange for the soul? If he gains the whole world and loses his own soul, what has he gained? So God puts the value of your soul beyond the product, the gross product of this world. Now, I couldn't get an exact number, but it's somewhere, the gross product is somewhere around $63 quadrillion. Yeah, go for it. The world product. Now, watch this equation. My soul is worth the world product of the world, right? Now, there's about 7 billion, almost 8 billion souls alive. Amen? So take the world gross product, multiply it by the world's population, divide it by 13 pints of blood. Now, I want to know how much a drop is. Divide that by 16 ounces. Divide that by 300 drops. Divide that by 70. Why? Because that's the average lifespan of you and me. Divide that by 2.2 to the seventh. That's 7 zeros after that. That's how many seconds in 70 years. And it will give you the value of 1 drop of blood per second. Not eternal, per second. So you must have that drop of blood the second you die, or it loses its value. Now, I'm just trying to give you an understanding. I know this isn't biblical. I'm just trying to give you a mathematical understanding. That amount came out to be somewhere as $150 million a second. So if you want to buy your salvation, all you have to do is fork out $150 million every second. And if you run out of money, you better hope it's not on the second he comes. So the richest man who at the time that I did this had $63 billion to his name. That means he could buy the blood of Jesus for 7 minutes. Now, he lived 81 years. So all he's got to do is figure out what 7 minutes in that 81 years that God's coming. But here's the real problem. What if he dies before Jesus comes? What if Jesus don't come in that 7 minutes? He's out of money. Whosoever will, let him come. And Isaiah put it this way, and drink. Freely. 150 million dollars a second. If we were to try to put a value on it, and you and I know that we can't do that, but if we were to try to do that, but God said, you're so valuable to me that I will shed my blood for you. And I will pay the price. And you will owe nothing. And once my blood is applied, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Walk with me, and I will count the hairs on your head. I love you so much. I will shed my blood, which has no value. Or should I say, you cannot value my blood. You cannot put a price on my blood. It's beyond any number. Any number. Because once my blood is applied, it's eternity for your soul. You'll never have to fear hell. Every eye closed, every mind on the Lord for a moment. You'll never have to fear hell. I will wash you clean of your sins. I will fill you with the power of my Spirit. And I will give you power over all the power of the enemy. I will place your foot on the neck of the devil. I will give you power over sin, power over your addictions. I will break the chains of bondage in your life. I will heal the wounds in your heart and in your soul. I will take away the feeling of rejection that you have, because I will love you so much, you will never feel rejected again. I will heal your troubled mind. I will take away the torment of the devil from you. I will give you power over him. I will break the chains of your addictions. I will crush them. And I will give you power over them. I will bless you and take care of you because I will become your provider. I will heal your body in a time of sickness. And if it's something you must walk through, I will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. And I will never leave you. If you will come to me, if you will give your heart and your life to me and let me put my blood upon you, let me remit your sins. How's that done, preacher? The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. When you go down in the water in Jesus' name, it is a typology of the death of Christ. The blood of Jesus is applied. Your sins are washed away. And the Bible says when you come out renewed, a new man in Christ. And the word of the Lord says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, you are valuable to God. Don't let the adversary convince you otherwise. You are valuable to God. If you were the only one, he would have still hung on the cross. If you were the only one, he'd have still shed every drop of blood. How do you know that, preacher? Because he looked at the one man on the cross next to him and said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he gave up the ghost, and that was the only one guaranteed. He had no guarantee of anybody else ever coming, ever accepting him, ever bringing him in, ever allowing him to fill them with his power, be buried in his name for the remission of their sins. But oh my Lord, 2,000 years later, millions, millions, hundreds of millions of people around the world have been filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the mighty name of Jesus, ready to spend eternity with him. And today, sir, ma'am, God has brought you to the house of God today to let you know how much he loves you. In Psalms 49 and 6, it says they trust in their wealth. Listen to this. They boast in themselves, the multitude of their riches. None of them by any means can redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. Why? Because there's not enough money for your soul. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. The rich man thinks so. The wise man thinks he can work his way through it. The inward thought is that all their possessions will be here forever. Verse 12, nevertheless man being in honor about not. He's like the beast, he perish. 14, he's like the sheep, he's laid down into a grave. Verse number 15, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't know what you're dabbling with in the world. I don't know what you're touching, but I'm here to tell you it's not worth your soul. A young man, young lady, I don't know what you're chasing after, but it's not worth your soul. I don't know what you're investing your time and your life into, but it's not worth your soul. There is nothing more valuable than that eternal soul that dwells on the inside of you. I wish I had an apostolic in this building. I wish there was someone in this building with a burden right now. Is there anybody here with a burden right now? Can we begin to pray? Can we begin to talk to God? There are precious men and women that are here that the devil has them bound. There are men and women here that or maybe you don't have an addiction. Maybe you live a pretty good life, but you still need to have God. You can't be good enough to get God. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can make you whole. I wonder if there's someone here today. I wonder if you'll step out here today. I wonder if you'll make your way back here to the altar. I wonder if you'll come and lay your heart out before God. I wonder if you'll make your way here and say, God, I need you. Lord, I don't understand it all. I can't figure it all out, but I need you, God. Sir, come. Ma'am, why don't you step out? Don't be afraid. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let this world talk you out of it. Don't let things of the world talk you out of it. You say, but what am I going to have to give up? I don't know, but I know it's not worth your soul. I know your soul is more valuable. God was in Christ reconciling the world to us. Every mind on God. Oh, I need you, church, for a moment. Please understand what I'm asking of you. I need every apostolic praying. I feel the adversary trying to fight. And only your prayers can break his strength and drive him back. Yes, he has no power over you, but he has power over them. And he's trying to convince them that a trip to this altar is not necessary, but they can feel something tugging on their heart. Come on, sir. I know how you felt. I was there. Every one of us was there. Every one of us. Come on. Come on, ma'am. Mom, single mom, come on. Come on, you need God to help you raise those children. Young lady, young man, you need God to help you make the right decisions in life. You're in college and you're pursuing your degree, and that's great, that's fantastic, but God's got wonderful things for you. You need to get God in your life that he can help give you direction. Come on, college student, step out from where you are, make your way down to this altar and begin to call on God. See what God will do for you. Come on, grandpa, come on, grandma, you need God to help you raise those grandkids. You need God to help you with your children. Your soul is too valuable. Your soul is too valuable. Your soul is too valuable. Come on. Come on. I'm not giving up because I know God's still calling. I feel God's still calling. Come on. Come on. I beg you. Come on. I plead with you. Oh, your soul. Your soul. Your soul. Your soul, 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 your soul is hungry, your soul is thirsty, your soul is crying out. Won't you come, sir? Won't you come, ma'am? Maybe you're standing next to somebody. Why don't you invite them to come and pray? Hallelujah.
Oh, praise the one who Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all.
White as snow.
He
washed it white as snow.
White as snow.
Oh, I need you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead.
Yeah.
Church, do you feel that break? Church, do you feel that breaking in the spirit? The enemy knew what was going to happen here. The enemy knew the power of the blood. He knew the power of the blood. And as this altar service started, I felt the spirit. I felt him trying to hinder you. Oh, come on, son. Come on, somebody. Don't underestimate the power of the blood that is here right now. Because it is breaking things off of people right now. The Holy Ghost is working right now. Oh, come on, somebody. Move in the spirit. Come on, somebody, move in the spirit right now. It's here. It's here. There's deliverance in this house because of the blood that was shed. There's deliverance in this house right now because of the blood. There is power. There is power. Come on, it is the blood. Go ahead. Don't be afraid to move in the Holy Ghost right now. Don't be afraid to move in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead, somebody. Obey God. Obey the call. There it is. Go ahead. Step out on faith. Step out on faith right now.
Praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
He washed it white. No place I'd rather be. I give it all to you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. When I lift up my voice and I declare your name, something happens inside of me. I need you, Jesus. I cannot leave the same way that I came. Lord, there is something burning and churning in me. I need you, Jesus.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for your word today. Hallelujah. God, I need you, Jesus. Lord, I am not able to make it without you. And in this moment, in this time, Lord, I have time. And I can praise you, Jesus, while I know where I'm at right now. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let the things that bind my mind and my body keep me from the blessing that you have for me. Because, Lord, right now I lay it down before you. Without any hindrance of my mind, I'm not going to think about it. Without all the troubles that are weighing on against me, I'm not going to think about it. Because right now I've determined within myself that, Lord, I need you. And I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to do what it takes to touch you. Lord, all these things that I go through, they do not mean nothing without you, Jesus. I need you. I cannot do it without you. Hallelujah. So for the next couple of moments, why don't we just continue to lay down every distraction, every weight that so easily besets us. Let us run towards Jesus. I don't know about you, but being able to come into a place and to worship him, there's nothing like it. Hallelujah. So right now, let's pray together. Pray whatever it is. And if anybody wants to be baptized, it is ready to go right now.
God is for us, then who Thank you. Thank you.